Simps, welcome back to MHA Characters X Listener. I just had to yawn, sorry. This is going to be a bunch of MHA stories since you guys asked for that. I will not be able to post next week because I have to go to a camp. And I won't have access to any internet in general, which is unfortunate, and I regret signing up for it. Anyways, a quick question before I start this. Do you guys consider me a mother figure of the sort? Because I've noticed in some of the Q&As that regard your guys' mental health, how much water you've drank, and the last time you ate, also with like your guys' sleeping habits, that some of you guys call me mom, mother, or mommy. It's not all of you guys, it's like a few people that call me those names. I don't mind it. Like, it's completely fine if you guys call me those names. I'm just genuinely curious if I'm like a mother figure for you guys. Anyways, as I was going to do, I'm going to introduce the stories, and then I will read them. Let's get started. This one is Aizawa X Listener. Of all the people that you could have had a crush on, it had to be him, didn't it? He always looks like he poured the devil's hot sauce into his eyes, instead of eye drops, with how bloodshot they were. That had to do with his patrol, though. He spent all day teaching and grading, and then at night he goes on patrol. His eyesight is shit due to the effects of his quirk. Plus, on top of that, he doesn't sleep and tries to see during the night. Such an odd combination. And that odd combination is what you fell in love with. It started simple, really. You became his TA, the first TA of UA. If you don't know what a TA is, it's a teacher assistant. The first TA UA has had, and you are appointed to the strict first-year teacher, who is known for expelling students on the first day and has never been late, not once in his life. It was intimidating. You had a lot of expectations to meet in one day. You came home that day with a stack of papers frazzled. After that, he warmed up a bit with you, especially after USJ. Well, after the USJ attack. When you distracted the Nomu enough to keep from breaking his arm. After slicing through its neck with the blade of your tail, you forgot it could regenerate, and you ended up doing a force face plant into the cement. At the end of the whole finasco, English is not my last language, you and Aizawa had matching scars under your eye. Whenever you were nervous or anxious about something, you would rub a scar and that side of your face with the tip of your tail. Which is exactly what you were doing at the moment. Stop that. You jumped and looked up to see Aizawa boring down at you. You sheepishly move your tail, looking away and glancing over when he sat down next to you. You tried focusing back on the stack of papers in front of you, but unfortunately, you were hyper aware of everything. Especially, said someone right next to you. Out of your peripheral vision, you studied his profile, since his scarf was hiding no part of his face. You look at his hair, noticing that he had it held back in a low ponytail, and his eyes were furrowed, focusing on the paper he was grading, putting red marks here and there, and has commented and made corrections. You trace, You trace down, noticing his stubble growing back, having to resist the urge to rub it. However, your tail had a mind of its own. You watched in a mix of embarrassment and horror as you gently rubbed his tail, as you gently rubbed his scar, going down to his stubble, tracing it. You were frozen. You were both frozen. Neither of you were going. Neither of you knowing how to react. You wanted to pull your tail away, but maybe it was the fact that he hadn't stopped them.
Hi. Hello. Can I assist you?
Purring baby.
What, you want attention or something? You want attention? I give you attention. I need the pain. I need the love. He scratches.
Sorry, I got distracted. He hadn't stopped the ministrations. I think that's how you say that. I'm a little slow. And you were enjoying the sight of his. You were enjoying the sight of him. It was very soft, and he didn't show the soft side to anyone, except maybe. How do you say that name? Nemurai? I'm really bad with names. Nemurai and Hisashi. I can say Hisashi. Hitoshi. Hisashi. Hisashi, I think. You ignored the plane of jealousy and focused on what you were doing. Now, finding the nerve to look at him. You didn't know where this bravery came from, but you knew you looked like a tomato as he stared right back at you. You felt a bit better though when you saw a light of pink hue on his cheeks. Ooh. I'm sorry, I haven't read this beforehand. You forced your tail to move from his face and opted to let it rest on his lap, but you refused to break eye contact. He glanced down briefly at your tail before looking back at you. Your breath hitched as he brought his hand to your face, tucking a piece of hair behind your ear. He let his hand linger, lightly brushing your cheek.
You're gonna fall off the bed.
My cat's laying here, and he's gonna fall over if he doesn't stop. Stop it. I'm sorry, I got distracted again. I swear I have ADHD. I lost my place. That's amazing. It's okay. I think I might have found it. He let his hand linger, lightly brushing your cheek with his thumb, giving you an easy-going, lopsided grin that brought a grin to your face. The moment was broken when he removed his hand and placed it on your tail, turning back to his work. You took a deep breath, facing your pile of your pile, basking in the comforting silence and the loving strokes of his finger on your tail as he grated with his other hand. Oh my word, get out of my lap! Oh my word! I'm not gonna be able to finish reading if you don't stop! My word. Okay, we can read from here. Kinda. Grating with his other. Oh, stop hitting yourself. Just hit my microphone. As he grated with his other hand, it was an hour or two of this before you decided to call it a night. I think I'm done for now. I'll just finish the rest at home. You stood up. You stood up, your tail still on his lap as you stretched. You were aware of him looking at you, but you pretended not to notice. You turned to him with a slight grin. I think you should head home too, Aizawa. He looked at you before looking at the clock. I guess you're right. He got up, finally letting go of your tail. And you missed the contact already. And apparently, your tail betrayed you and wrapped itself around his leg. You flushed.
Stop moving. I cannot read with you moving so much.
I lost my place. That's great. I need to keep up with this. Your tail betrayed you, wrapping itself around his leg. You flushed when he looked at you, a teasing smirk on his face. I wasn't going anywhere. You flushed, forcefully removing your tail, and pouted at him, earning yourself a chuckle. And you'll be damned to admit that it sounded that. Stop moving! I lost my place again. And why are you behind me now? Oh, that's another cat. This is why I don't play with the cats around me. You'll be damned to admit that that sound made you shudder. Pleasantly, you both packed up your paperwork, silently both heading to the door and walking towards the exit of the building. Are you going to your apartment or staying in the dorms? You look at him, waiting for a response, and he looks at you before averting his eyes and hiding a bit of his bit in his scarf.
English.
You saw some pink, and it made butterflies in your stomach. Much more noticeable. He mumbled something, but you couldn't quite hear it. What do you say, Zala? I'm going to my apartment. It's not too far from here. You've been quite talkative this evening, and honestly, you were pleasantly surprised.
I can't.
With English today. You were pleasantly surprised. I'm going home too. There's no need to stay in the dorms tonight. Since you won't be there, this part was left unspoken. Risking a glance at him, but quietly averting your eyes when he caught you. You continue to walk in silence and notice how close you two were walking, bumping shoulders and hands grazing. You enjoyed this contact, and you didn't want to risk him pulling away. So you kept your eyes in front, enjoying the silent company. You lived in the same apartment complex as him, but you lived a floor above him. But you continued walking up the stairs. As you both continued walking up the stairs, you realized how reluctant you... What? How reluctant you were to leave his company, and you thought of something quickly before blurting it out. As both of you got to his floor. Would you like to eat something? I have leftover pork, blah, blah, blah. English. I have leftover pork cutlet bowls from yesterday. That's if you want to. You were so damn nervous, and your face was red. You felt it. But you risked it. Looking at him as you both stared at each other. When he stood quiet, you were about to forget it all. Sure. You let out a breath as he gave you a light smile, even though you were nervous.
even though your nerves were frazzled, and you thought you were going to die, as the feeling of hope loomed into your chest.
Well.
Alright, I had a yawn. You continued at your apartment, thinking to yourself, don't get ahead of yourself now. Don't ruin your friendship for these feelings that you're not 100% sure are reciprocated. You made it to your apartment, opening the door and letting him come in. It's not the first time he's been over to your apartment, but this night, you really didn't want him to go. You wanted to just a little more time with him. You already know where the bathroom is. You can use it. He just looked at you, tilting his head before going to the bathroom. You went to your room to change and wash up a bit in your private bathroom. You came out and he saw you. You came out and saw him on the couch. He surprisingly took off his scarf and his jacket. He was sitting in a black shirt. He didn't try to stare, but you stared because you thoroughly loved what you saw. You saw what was, You saw what you think is a peeking of a tattoo coming from the sleeve. But he moved his arm, and that's when you looked up. You saw him smirking at you with a knowing look. You couldn't stop blushing, even if you wanted to. You like what you see, don't you?
Oh, there's cat hair all over me.
You like what you see, don't you? You couldn't even deny it at all. You couldn't deny it, so all you managed was a sheepish smile when your tail started wagging. Your blush turned even redder as he smirked, turning into a grin. To save yourself, you turned and went straight to the kitchen, preparing the pork cutlet bowls. You were in the middle of heating up the both of them when you felt a pair of arms snake around your waist. You froze, not believing it, despite your tail wagging around a pair of familiar legs. Aizawa? You shuddered. As is true. What? Who is texting me? Stop texting me.
Everywhere. Can't escape you.
You shuddered as he trailed light kisses along your exposed shoulder, going up your neck and stopping at your ear. Call me Shiota. Is that how you say his name? Yeah. You couldn't help but shudder this time, your breath hitching as he hugged you tightly to him. And now you were flushed against him. This is too much to process at one time. You weren't gonna stop it. No way in hell. Might as well call me Mayan. You moved your head to look at him, and you weren't ready for the look he was giving you. It was full of adornment, and he had a gentle smile on his face. This sounds like a character AI story, or the high waifu stories. I lost my spot again. Full of adornment, and a gentle smile on his face. This was the most unguarded you've been. This is the most unguarded you've seen him. And you were going to treasure this look for the rest of your life. I am, Hi. He trailed his lips back down Where's my spot? I lost it. Back down to the conjuncture of your neck and shoulder, nibbling on it lightly, your breath hitch tilting your neck in response so it can have more access. One hand left your waist and you placed it on your hip, massaging lightly. You have no idea how long I've been wanting to do this. He trailed his lips back to your ear and licked the shell, lightly chuckling when your eyes fluttered a bit and at the sensation. He pulled away. Hey, don't touch my mug. Don't touch my mug. Eyes fluttered a bit at the sensation. He pulled away a bit, turning you around to face him. The feeling is mutual. You looked at him, glancing down at his lips. He caught the look and didn't hesitate to press his lips against yours. His lips were surprisingly soft, and you tasted chapstick, which was so surprisingly pleasant. He tilted his head one way to get a better angle, and you tilted your head. Oh my word, I was just reading that, how did I lose it? You tilted your head the other way. You didn't know when it turned into a makeout session, but it did with your tail. You turned off the stove so the pork cutlet didn't burn. He pulled away with kiss swollen lips. Pupils were, oh my word, English is not my language. Pupils blown out, and you were pretty sure you looked the same. Does this make us official? He grinned, a breathless laugh escaping him. How's this for an answer? He pulled you into another kiss, and holy shit, you were caught in a wind whirl with this man. You had no plans to escape. That's the end of that story. That took 22 minutes for me to read. I can't read for the life of me. Anyways, we're gonna read the next part. I have practice later. Oh my god, I have practice. Why did I sign up for a camp? Okay. I don't think you guys would like that one. We'll do an Izuku one. I haven't done one of Izuku in a while. Oh, this is a male listener one. So the story is Izuku, ex-shy, anxious male listener. Let's get started. The constant tap of your pencil on your pants leg as it made a thump, thump, thump. Was it keeping... What? God, I'm tired inserting one in the afternoon. Made a thump, thump, thump. Was it what was keeping you grounded at the moment? You were in the middle of an English test for present Mike, and you weren't faring well. Yeah. Stop kicking my leg with your feet. Stop it. Put the feet into fetal position. Stop it. At least, God, I can't with you. At least from your point of view, you weren't doing as good as you thought you might have if you studied as much as Midoriya and Ida. And Ida. Midoriya was walking
Encyclopedia. Midoriya was a walking encyclopedia. You could have sworn that he had an analyst's quirk. You were soon thrown back into focus. Don't touch my phone. Don't touch my phone. Don't touch it. You're going to pause. Stop it. You were soon thrown back into focus by a stop it! I'm trying to read. I'm about to throw you off my lap. Focus by a searing gaze burning holes through, burning holes into your face. You changed a glance up.
I
don't need to sneeze now. That's great. Hold on, I lost my place really quick. And glanced up, and to your dismay, Mike Sensei was already looking at you. You wanted to disappear right then and there, straight through the floor. Maybe you might ask Muriel if you can borrow his permission work for the perfect moment. Your throat was cleared and you jumped, looking up with a wide scared eyes as Bakugo glared at you, looking down at the constant thumping of your pencil against your leg. You instantly stopped. It was not wanted in an encounter. It not wanted to encounter the explosive male again. In any shape or form. Now you ought to try and hide your face to the best of your ability while jiggling your leg up and down. Damn it, your anxiety was getting the best of you. And you felt like you were in the center of attention. Everyone was looking at you, the disapproval clear in their eyes, hearing the voices in the back of your head mocking and telling you all of those things. You'll never be good enough. They're all staring at you, wishing you would disappear right now. You would never do anything right. All you're good for is staying quiet and doing as people say. Even that you can't do right. You shook your head, wanting to get rid of yourself. You shook your head, wanting to rid yourself of those thoughts. Now was not the time for those thoughts to appear, and for your anxiety to be kicking in overdrive. You had a very important English test to pass right now. The last thing you needed was to fail because of the voices. Induced by your anxiety. To the best of your ability, you ignore a snide and hateful thought, a hateful voice in your head telling you that you couldn't amount to anything important. You continue to write the answers to each question. The only thing on your mind was getting out of the room. You altered between shaking your leg and had a grip on the desk with a hard unused hand that didn't stop the shaking. You wanted to finish and make it to the bathroom before the class was over. Once class was over, that meant kids were leaving. and when kids come out the classroom, they usually hang out or infiltrate the bathrooms. Something that was not needed, and you knew you had to get, you knew you had to go ASAP, or ASAP. I think that said ASAP, right? You had to go ASAP. When you saw a wet drop hit the paper, you furiously wiped your eyes, not wanting to show any type of weakness to anyone. They already thought you were pathetic and extra. You didn't need to give them any more reason to think along those lines. You were answering the last question, and you felt like the room was closing in on you. You swiftly packed your bag and grabbed your jacket, trying your best not to draw any attention to yourself. You moved out of your seat, handing it to President Mike Sensei, bowing to him before bolting it out of the room and making a beeline to the bathroom. There was no one in the hall, so it meant that you had time to yourself. You pushed the door open, letting it blow softly behind you as you finally let the tears fall. You didn't even know why you were crying, but you felt the need to cry. You weren't about to stop it. As your silent tears turned into a whimper and then small sobs as you covered your mouth trying to muffle your sounds. The last thing you needed was for someone to hear you, and that would be the end of you. You didn't need that kind of stress added to your plate when you already had a lot to deal with. You had a lot of anxiety, and you didn't know who to go to for it. To go to for this kind of help. Since it was frowned upon for boys or men to even show any ounce of weakness, that needed to stop because it was seriously damaging to the psyche. How do you say that? Just like it damaged you in a way you think was irrelevant. No English today. Irreversible. You can't think too long about sharing your problems with someone without losing your breath or going down the track of having a panic attack. Oh no, you were hyperventilating. All your crying and sobbing made you lose your breath, which created a domino effect, and now here you were trying to calm down in a corner of the bathroom by the window. It wasn't working, and only got worse when you heard the telltale sign of the class ending course of the bell. I think that's how you say that. Whatever. Oh no. People were coming, and that meant people were going to come in here. Not wanting to see anyone right now, you did the only thing you could think of at the moment, and that was to hide in the stall. Don't touch my computer, please. You locked the door and put the seat down, standing on top of it. You think whether whatever got out of there, out there of UA, had not gaped and made the door very tall. Just in time, because as soon as you stepped on the seat, the door opened and you heard three familiar voices. What the hell is wrong with that fucking guy? Of course it had to be. Of course it had to be Bakugo. Of all the people in the class, it had to be him. Don't be harsh on him, Bakugo. He's just shy and gets nervous easily. That was Kirishima, and... What a surprise. They were talking about you. Oh, and don't please put your ears down. Not me. Scooch. Don't fucking call me that, shitty hair. You heard the sigh of a fist meeting flesh. And you can only assume that Katsuki threw a punch at Kirishima, who blocked it with his hardening quirk. How was he able to stand such an... Can I help you? Cat's purring. He's an egotistic loudmouth. Like he was beyond your comprehend. He's right, Kachan. And Midoriya was there with them. He was a mystery himself. Apparently, he and Katsuki were childhood friends. But all he and Bakugo... What? But all his life, Bakugo saw Midoriya as an extra. Someone who's a stepping stone and isn't worth anything to him. What the hell do you know about anything, shitty nerd? He's a fucking pansy? He's a fucking pansy who has no fucking balls. You have plenty of balls. If your anxiety didn't communicate. Don't, please. Paw down. Please, thank you. And you're touching my tea. Don't touch my tea. What? To your natural shy nature. That's not nice to say, Kachan. You heard a cackle, which meant Bakugo was about to hit him. Die, shitty. His voice was muffled. Presumably that by Kirishima, who you assume dragged him away, fighting and screeching, as Midoriya followed behind. My English is horrible, and it's my only language that I know. Can't read for the life of me. You waited with battered breath as the door closed behind them. And once you were sure... Oh, my phone's gonna die. You should probably hurry this up. Once you were sure... Once you were sure no one else was inside, you let yourself breathe as you felt tears prick at the corner of your eyes. That was so scary. There were too many people and loud voices as you carefully got off the toilet and opened the door of the stall as it swung to the right. You walked out and let the stall door close. I figure you were still in here. You let out a high-pitched squeak. I'm sorry. You let out a high-pitched scream, which you quickly covered your mouth as you got hot from your neck all the way up to the tip of your ears with embarrassment. You looked towards the culprit and saw it was Midoriya looking at you with a worried frown on his lips. You hid your face. What? You hide your face in your raised arms shaking in place. You were caught. He caught you. He caught you. That's all you could think about. Children. Sorry. That's all you can think about. As the tear poured again, you felt like you were going to have a panic attack again. You felt like you were going to have a panic attack. He knows your secret. He knows how weak and pitiful you are. He knows you have no use, and he's going to tell everyone, and everyone's going to isolate you. Ellen Kuhn, you jumped as an arm wrapped around you and bringing your shaking frame into a hug. It's okay, Ellen Kuhn. It's okay to cry. You felt his arms wrap up and down your back gently, and that's when the dam broke. That's when the dam broke. You let it all out. He let you. Also, you didn't even realize that you were sitting on the floor, but he didn't seem to care, so you didn't make it a big deal. You cried like you haven't cried in years, and it felt good. It felt good, and before you knew it, you were clinging onto his uniform tightly, not wanting to move. You didn't know how long the two of you sat there as he comforted you, but he continued. Until you stopped crying and you weren't sniffling anymore. You're not useless, you're not pitiful. You're not a pansy either. Did you say you thought that out loud? You're none of those things. You're none of those things. You're just Ellen Kuhn, a boy who needs some patience, time, and a friend. Her eyes widened, taking in his words, and finally, you pulled back to look at him in the face. Do you really mean that? You had to know. You needed verbal response. You didn't want to be tricked again into trusting someone because they said that one word. Of course I do, Ellen Kuhn. You're my friend. He gave you a grin. And you couldn't help but grin right back at him. He got up, extending a hand to you. Come on, let's wash your face before heading towards dorms. You did as he suggested and stood up on wobbly legs and walked towards the sink, washing your face, thanking him as he passed you a paper towel to dry your face. As you grabbed your bag, and he walked towards the door, unlocking it. That explains why no one walked in on you, being comforted during your meltdown. As you walked down the empty halls, you had to know. What? My English is horrible. The empty hall. You had to know. You had no more thing. One more thing, my word. You won't tell anyone what happened, right? He didn't peg you as the type to tell anyone then again. Ochako and Ida. No, not Ochako. Uraraka and Ida can be present, persistent. When needed, I promise, Ellen Kuhn. He grabbed your hand, giving it a gentle squeeze before letting go, and starting talking about heroes and whatnot. It made you smile knowing that you had at least one friend, and someone who didn't judge you for having anxiety and attacks. That's the end of that story. I should probably end this, and I'll make another one. Anyways, have a good day, night, or evening. Bye.